Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
In the ancient world, salt was used as a preservative, medicine, and as a flavor enhancer in food. Metaphorically, this is what Jesus wants Christians to be in our modern culture. Regardless of your vocation or location, Jesus wants you to have a salty influence on society. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 9 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his second message on verses 49 and 50. He poured out his love, his
forgiveness of sin. Mark 9, verses 49 and 50. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. These verses this morning are some of the most challenging words of Jesus. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture. And there's a tendency for us to gravitate to the sections of Scripture that we might label comforting, thankful for that, encouraging, thankful for that. But there are also Scriptures that are challenging. There are also Scriptures that are like a slap in the face, if I may use the term. Everything that Jesus said was for our benefit. Everything that Jesus said was for our learning and for our well-being. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We love, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Amen? But we don't love. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. No. And these verses promise that those who belong to Jesus Christ will be salted. Salted with trials, salted with persecution. And in these verses, we see that how we respond to trials and persecution many times determines the validity of our faith in Christ. Because this tells us, these words tell us, that a failure to be a salty, preserving influence and a world gone rotten society means either we are ignorant of or rebellious towards the fact why we've been redeemed. And that's to be men and women of influence. We've been redeemed to be salt in a world that is rotten. Jesus says in verse 49, everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salted with fire and salted with salt. Now, keep in mind that Jesus is preparing these men for what lies ahead for them after he returns to heaven. And these words are necessary for you and I to hear today as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we will see, is going to tell them in response to a question, who's going to sit in my right hand or who's going to sit on my left? He's going to say, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I've drank of? In other words, are you prepared to live unreservedly and uncompromisingly for me? And they said, yes. And he says, good, because you will be tried. The Bible says, here's another good bumper sticker. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You like that one? It's in the Bible. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. It's not strange to go through trials. It's not strange to be persecuted. It's strange if you're claiming to be a Christian and you never have a trial and you're never persecuted. That's strange. You see, every single follower of Jesus Christ is going to be persecuted in this life, in this world, because Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 20, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Question, did they persecute Jesus? How many of you think that Jesus was the most popular thing when he was on earth? Mm-mm. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Remember, Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was the greatest of all of the prophets. He was the greatest of all the prophets. And John rebuked Herod for an ungodly relationship with his brother's wife. And for that, John gets put into prison. John is sitting in this prison. And no doubt, he's water baptized God. Can you imagine that? He's water baptized the Messiah. So he's no doubt sitting in prison and thinking, I am sold out for the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm standing for him. That's why I'm in prison. And I just know that it's just a matter of moments. And Jesus is going to go in the telephone booth like Clark Kent, put on the cape, fly down here and rescue me. In fact, as time goes by, we read that when Jesus heard that John was in prison, he left that area. Oy vey. And so John then sends disciples to Jesus and says, hey, are you really the one that we're looking for? Or should we look for someone else? And Jesus said, go tell John. The blind see, the deaf hear, and all of that. And then he said in Matthew 11, verse 6, and blessed is he, happy is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You see, John had illusions of how Jesus was supposed to respond to him because he was in prison. And John was disillusioned by his false illusions of how Jesus was supposed to act. You see, we are in this world representing Jesus Christ. We're living in a world where they call good evil, evil good. They call right wrong, wrong right. And thus, to stand for Christ, to stand for him, to stand for his gospel is going to put us in opposition with the vast majority of people that live on this planet. When Jesus gave us the parable of the sower, the seed that was on stony ground, it started well. But when persecution came because of the word, the Bible says that those on the stony ground walked away. In other words, they were not really wheat. They were chaff. They weren't really born again. You see, what we need to realize, beloved, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ has always been offensive. There's modern day Christians that think that the gospel just became offensive 50 years ago or within the last 20 years. The gospel of Jesus Christ has always been offensive. Jesus himself is offensive. In Romans 9:33, we read a quote from the Old Testament. Behold, I lay in Sion, this is the Father speaking of the Son, a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus Christ stumbles people. Jesus Christ offends people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 through 25 tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. The gospel of Jesus Christ that proclaims that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is offensive to every self-righteous person who lives on this planet. The gospel of Jesus Christ that proclaims salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is offensive to every sacramental or works-based religious system. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and is the only way whereby a sinner can be forgiven and be assured of heaven, that's offensive to all other world religions that preach a different Jesus, a different gospel with a different spirit. It's offensive. The message itself is offensive. It's not that we want to be offensive. It's Christ himself. He's offensive. The message is offensive. The word of God is offensive. Jesus says, every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. In the Old Testament, we read in Leviticus 2:13, every oblation of thy meat offering shall you season with salt. Neither shall you suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. And so Old Testament offerings involved salt as a sign of covenant faithfulness. Now, this is challenging. Salt represents a covenant relationship. You see, those who are born again, we are in a covenant relationship with God. And that covenant relationship with God binds us together as well. And this relationship with Jesus Christ, it's relational. It's a relational thing. And there's a relation that you and I are to have in Christ as brothers and sisters that is connected with the covenant that we have with God. Listen to this quote. In the ancient East, or in the Middle East, courtesy dictated that a stranger be invited for a meal that included a ritual of eating bread and salt as a symbol of brotherhood. Even though the stranger and his host had never met before and might never meet again, Arabs who are brothers by covenant rather than blood still say, there is salt between us. Well, this is challenging. You see, because if non-believers who are strangers, even if they are enemies, have salt between themselves, Jesus is going to say in verse 50, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. There was an early church liturgical hymn that referred to salt as representing saving faith. And the lyrics went like this, quote, let salt praise thy living body, wherewith are salted the bodies and the souls of all the faithful. And faith is the salt of men wherewith they are preserved. We are living at a time, a most interesting time in the history of the world. The most exciting and the most challenging. And one of the things that you and I have to realize as followers of Jesus Christ is that following him is not going to become less of a thing, but it's going to happen more and more. And there's one thing, there's always been one thing that has bound the true body of Christ together. It's been, on earth, persecution. Persecution and opposition. One of the most dangerous things for the church today is prosperity. The church is its purest. The church is its strongest. The church is most united when we are going through times of persecution and trials. This one missionary magazine that I subscribe to says, it is a known fact that persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ has a way of bringing people together. Missionaries on the foreign field who are working against overwhelming odds have no time for denominational differences. Together in the name of Christ, they act as one body. Sooner or later, what Jesus tells us about suffering and being represented as a salt sacrifice and persecution is going to be the means that brings the true body of Christ together. Amen? What was it, Star Trek? I get Star Trek, Star Wars, where they would go into the transporter room. Was that Star Trek? See, now I'm dating myself, right? Because after Star Trek came Star Wars. Okay. Anyways, I've often thought the best thing for the church in America would be to put us in a transporter room and drop us right in the middle of Kabul, Afghanistan. No church buildings, no hymnals, no nothing, no bands, no music, and just see who is, what hill are you going to die on? The KJV only? The non-electric only vocal hill? I think that that would be the most wonderful thing for the church. A good old dose of persecution. Don't you? You see, if you don't live by the praise of men, you won't die by their criticism. You're going to be criticized when you choose to live for Jesus Christ. You can expect it. Didn't it blow you away when you came to saving faith of Christ and you went and told your family and your friends and you thought, oh, but they're going to be so thrilled. And then when they said to you, we didn't raise you like that. You know what I love about Jesus, the many things I love about Jesus, is that he tells us, because he loves us, in advance, this is what you can expect. He doesn't tell you after you come to saving faith, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. This is going to cost you something. Right up front. You know, he draws the line. He not only tells you how to get to heaven, he tells you what it's going to be like here on earth. Now, Jesus says in verse 50, salt is good. Salt is good. I had a full physical this week. And I told my doctor, after he read all of my vitals, I said, Doc, he asked me about my salt intake. I said, Doc, with all due respect, I don't agree with you. Jesus said salt is good. He said salt is good. And of course, he knew that I was kidding and there was nothing wrong. He says, you know, said all kinds of nice things. Salt is good. Notice, but at the end of verse 50, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? In other words, when salt loses its taste, what is it good for? Nothing. You see, too many believers only think of the fact that when you trust Christ, you go to heaven. Thank God for that. But there's much more. There's living for him here on this earth, here and now. In Luke 14, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, salt is good, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith will it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Every person here today, every person watching online, has a purpose for why they are alive on earth. Every one of us has a purpose. I read a story of a missionary to Afghanistan. In his journal, wrote to his wife and his children, we only get to die once. We may as well die for Christ. And a month later, he was martyred. And they were martyred. Salt is good. But if you and I have lost that salt, we've lost the purpose for why we've been redeemed. Or we are living in rebellion for that because we want to live for ourselves. Salt. In those days, it was used to preserve or kill bacteria. It was used to stop spoilage. The Jews had a saying, the world cannot survive without salt. You see, they didn't have refrigeration. And so salt preserved their food. Even in small quantities, salt makes a difference. You put salt on the vegetables. You put salt on the burger. You see, I wanted to make sure that I didn't offend either one of you, right? And what the salt, you don't eat that salad. You don't eat that burger and say, oh, that salt was just so wonderful. You see, salt never draws attention to itself. Salt draws attention to whatever it is put on. People are to see us and we are to draw attention to Christ. Shouldn't be asking us, what church do you go to? But who do you belong to? But if professing believers lose that distinction, they've lost their purpose. Salt is also used to add flavor. It makes food palatable, as I mentioned. And you and I, like salt, are to add flavor to people's lives. Our influence on people is to make the quality of their life better, not worse. And you know another thing that salt does? It promotes thirst. It promotes thirst. I read this, again, in this missionary magazine. At a missionary meeting, some young people were discussing the text, "You are the salt of the earth." One suggestion after another was made as to the meaning of salt in this verse. "Salt imparts a desirable flavor," said one. "Salt preserves from decay," another suggested. Then at last, a Chinese Christian girl spoke out of an experience none of the others had. "Salt creates thirst," she said, and there was a sudden hush over the room. And everyone was thinking, have I ever made anyone thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ? Salt. But it also relates to how we talk. How we talk to other people. How we talk to one another. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to argue with everybody." You know, you'll never argue a lost person into the kingdom of God. Never. God can handle himself. He says, "I want you to be a witness." And he says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are unbelievers." Where do we get the idea that we are never to have any dealings with unbelievers? The only dealings that we cannot have with unbelievers when there is compromise or when there is something that they're doing that we have no business doing. We are to work with them. We go to the same gym with them. Everything else. We are to be a witness, salt, where there are unbelievers. That's our mission field. We are to walk towards them, and our speech is always to be filled with grace, seasoned with salt. Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Speaking the truth in love. You see, if you have made it known that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, people are going to watch you. And they expect you to be different. Shame on them and shame on us if they expect us to be sinless. That's not the issue. But we should be different. And there's a world that is watching you. There's a world that is watching me. There's a world that is watching everybody in the body of Christ. And we need to be on our guard. We need to be walking and living in such a way that we're aware of our surroundings. Peter, who heard these words of Jesus in Mark 9, 49 and 50, said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Notice, "and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, like you are an evildoer, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good behavior in Christ."
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question?
Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.